Matthew chapter 9. I see that video about 3 times a week, and every time I see it, I'm ready to go. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. The Bible says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Uganda is a very wide open country. You can go there as a missionary and you can do anything you want to do. You can start a school. You can start an orphanage. You can start a radio station. You can start a prison ministry. You can start a church. You can do anything you want to do in Uganda. The doors are wide open. But the laborers are few. Our prayer is that God would send more missionaries to come to Uganda to take advantage of the open door that is there now. It's not going to stay open long. Why are the laborers so few? I believe God, more than anyone else, wants this world to be reached. You agree with that? He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. I believe He wants it more than anyone else. And His plan to accomplish this is to use us. He could write the message in the clouds. He could send angels. But God's plan is to use you and me to reach this world for Christ. So it stands to reason that He is going to be actively calling men and women into His service to do His will. But I think the problem is that many people are not answering the call. Most everybody has a cell phone. When it rings, what's the first thing you do usually? You look to see who's calling, right? If it's somebody you don't want to talk to, will you answer it? Oh, I'll get them later. I'll let the voicemail pick it up. But I think that's sometimes what we do with God. God is calling. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we know that's what God is calling us for. But we're not going to answer the phone. There's a lot of candidates right here for Uganda. Not just young people. And I'm not going to say older people. I'll say mature people. You can go. My dad's 58 years old, and he's in Uganda. I think there's a few reasons, and there's probably a lot more, but just a few that I have found why people are not answering the call. I'll just give you those tonight. Number one, I believe it's people are afraid to leave their comfort zone. Right. We left Uganda and came back here to the States in August, and we were overwhelmed. I mean, I've been in America years and years, went to college here, but when I came back this last term, it was overwhelming, the stuff and the comfort that we have here in America. Driving out to California, we passed motorhome after motorhome after motorhome. These big, huge buses pulling Hummers. $7 billion was spent the day after Thanksgiving in America for Christmas presents. $7 billion in one day. We have so much here in America. Most people won't come to church if the air conditioner's not right or if the heat's not just right. We have so much. So comfortable. And that's why we don't want to answer God's call, is because we don't want to leave our comfort zone. Well, I'll give money. I'll raise my giving. I'll even pray every day for missionaries. Just don't ask me to leave my comfortable lifestyle, my good job, my retirement, my good health benefits. Remember the story in the book of 2 Kings where the Assyrians were besieging Jerusalem? And they had been doing it for quite some time, where the people in Jerusalem were starving to such an extent as they began even eating their own children. It was so bad. And there were four lepers outside the city. And they said, you know, we're kind of between a rock and a hard place here. We can go into town and starve, or we can go to the enemy camp and they'll kill us. Either way, we're going to die. They said, let's go to the enemy camp. So as they on their way, they're going, the Lord sends a noise and makes the Assyrians think that Israel's coming out after them, and they run away scared. And they leave all that stuff in the camp. The lepers get to the camp and they see that everybody's gone, and they start looking around. They see the food that was prepared and they start eating. They get so full they start putting stuff in their pockets, and then they start looking at everything else and they start burying stuff, and then they realized, we do not well. Here we're eating all this food. We have all this stuff. We can't even eat it all. And our people back in Jerusalem are dying. Just think of that spiritually. How many times have we heard the gospel? How many times have people in Uganda and other areas heard the gospel? We forget where we came from. But there's a lot of people out there that have never heard the gospel. Oh, they've had religion, but they've never one time heard the truth. Remember Abraham when God told him to go? He didn't even know where he was going. Can you imagine him coming home to Sarah and saying, "All right, Sarah, pack up, we're leaving. Where are we going?" That direction. Where are we going? I don't know. He didn't even know where he was going, but he obeyed God. We don't want to leave the comfort and the stuff that we have. Consider what some other Christians had to say about comfort and serving the Lord. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Sound like they were concerned about comfort? Not at all. Sometimes it's hard for us to even take time out of our comfortable lifestyle to tell our neighbor about Christ or go across the street. I'm glad there's one in particular who didn't have the attitude of this. He left everything that belonged to him because his Father asked him to come to this world. Amen. Can you imagine Jesus up in heaven and God says, I want you to go and die for the people of the world? And Jesus looks around and says, no, I'm comfortable here in heaven. All the majesty and glory. Why do you want me to go down there to those people, to that earth? Be like them, live like them, and die for them. I'm comfortable here in heaven. I'm so glad he didn't have that attitude. Sometimes that's the way we are. We don't want to live, we don't want to leave the comfort that we have for someone else. Isaiah chapter 51, and we will stay there the rest of the time. Isaiah chapter 51. Verse number 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. We have a promise of God's comfort to us. With such a promise of God's comfort, why not answer God's call? Why not leave our comfort zone and let God comfort us? With his comfort. You see, we're more worried about physical comfort, temporary comfort. He can comfort us with things that won't ever pass away. Well, such a promise of God's comfort, why not leave our comfort zone and answer God's call? Number two, people are afraid of what it might cost them. Well, you know, I might get a disease. I might even die if I go to Uganda. You might? Malaria kills 3,000 Africans every day. AIDS kills 5,000 Africans every day. We have Ebola again. You might get sick. You might die. You know, when those missionaries, David Livingston and Alexander McKay and those many years ago went to the field, you know what they took with them? A coffin. They knew they were not coming back. And they were willing to accept that that's what it would cost them to serve the Lord. Are we willing to do that? Oh, but it's dangerous. It is. But since I've been back since August, I've seen more of this extreme sports stuff that is dangerous, and people don't even think twice about doing it. Jumping off of bridges, jumping out of airplanes, these motorcycles that jump and flip 3 or 4 times upside down in the air. Is that dangerous? Since when do Americans shy away from danger when it comes to God? Well, Lord, it's going to be dangerous over there. Well, what about going to war? We'd go to war like that for our country, knowing full well that we may not come back. Why don't we have the same attitude with God? Consider Christ and what it cost Him to come to this earth. He lost the comforts of heaven. 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." He became poor so that we could become rich. He lost, we gained. He lost a perfect relationship with His Father. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." He was perfect. He knew no sin. We were the sinners. He took our sin so that we could be justified. He lost. We gained. He suffered the anguish and pain of death on the cross. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God." What brings about death? Anybody? Why do we die? Because of what? Sin. Did Jesus have any sin? So could He die? He gave up His life willingly. He who could not die died for us so that we could live. He lost, we gained. Hebrews 13:12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach." He suffered shame and humiliation. He who was God, so that we could be glorified. He lost, we gained. Isn't it time we start losing for someone else to gain? You don't have to turn there, but in the book of Matthew chapter 25, it talks about the man who was traveling into a far country, and he called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. One man he gave 10, one he gave 5, and to another he gave 1. He gave him these talents. When he came back from his journey, he asked the man who he had given 10 talents to, he said, "What have you done?" He said, "Master, your talents, your 10, have gained 10. Well done." He went to the one he had given 5 to, and he said, "I gave you 5, what have you done?" He said, your five has gained five more. Well done. He goes to the one that he gave one to and said, I gave you one. What have you done with it? Well, Master, I was afraid to use it. I was afraid. We afraid to use what God has given us? You see, God has given every one of us a talent to use for His glory. Are we hiding it? Because we're afraid of what someone might say? We're afraid of what it might cost us to use what God has given us to serve Him? Everybody's different. Not everybody has the same talent. But God gives every one of us something to serve Him. My wife took 1 year of sign language in 10th grade. Never used it. Never practiced it. Never knew that when she went to Uganda, she would be needed to start a deaf ministry. And the Lord brought that sign language back to her. That was her talent. What talent do you have that God has given you that you're hiding because you're afraid to use it? Many times people think that when we get on the airport to go to Uganda or whatever mission field we go to, that God stays at the airport. But you know, God is in Uganda with us. Amen. We don't check God in at the airport to go to Uganda. He is there with us. He's right there. And there's nothing that can happen to us that He doesn't allow. Remember what God said to Noah after all the animals were in the ark? He said, come. He didn't say go. He said, come. God was already in the ark. Amen. Come over to Uganda and help us. Look back in Isaiah verse 16. And I put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. Do we really need to worry about it? About what it's going to cost us when God has said, I've covered thee in the shadow of mine hand? With such a refuge of God's hand, why not leave our fears and answer the call? Are we too worried about what it's going to cost us? And then number three, people are afraid to trust that God knows what's best for their life. We think we know what's best. And we think we know more than God. Many times, because we question God. What if my 4-year-old daughter came up to me and said, Dad, do we have enough gas to get to the next meeting? Is the engine running okay? What about insurance? Is that okay? We got our plane tickets to go back to Uganda. Have you contacted the doctors to deliver my sister? Dad, what about a will? You got all these things taken care of, Dad? You would think she would be crazy as a 4-year-old because her dad takes care of those things, right? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. What about our Heavenly Father? Yeah. What do I say to Kendra about those things? Don't worry about them. I've got them under control. God knows what's best for our life. Well, but God, you know, what about this situation? It's okay. You can trust me. Well, God, you don't understand this situation. God says, yes, I do. Just trust me. Psalm 78 talks about how Israel questioned God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? We're in the middle of a desert. There's maybe 2 million people. There's no food. There's no water. God, can you really take care of us when there's no human resources available? Says yes. Moses, go over there and strike that rock. You want food? Just wake up in the morning. Can God? Can we trust Him? I like the statement that Brother Baker makes. It's never as much as God can do, for God can do anything. It's always as much as we allow God to do. God is only limited by our unbelief or our disobedience. And as it goes on in the rest of that chapter in Psalm 78, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. Are we limiting what God wants to do through us because we can't trust Him? Whatever it is that we're not surrendering to God, whatever it is that we're holding on to and not surrendering, that's what's going to destroy us. The story is told of a hunter in the jungles. He knew how to hunt monkeys. And he would tie a jug or a jar that had some pretty rocks in it. And he would tie it to a tree. The monkey would come along. He would see these rocks. And he would put his hand in there to get those. But he couldn't pull his hand out. Because once he grabbed onto those rocks, his hand was too big to pull out. Well, he hears the hunter coming and he's pulling even more and more, trying to get his hand out. The hunter gets closer and the hunter's just standing there right next to him. He's still trying to pull it out. Phew. Dead. If he would have just let go what he was holding on to, he could have saved his life. Whatever it is that we're holding on to that we won't surrender to God, going to destroy us. We can trust God, can't we? How big is your God? Not how big is God. We know how big God is, but how big is your God? How big is God to you? Can you trust Him? Well, I really can't make a year commitment. You know, times of uncertainty here with the economics and the election coming up. And I can't make a commitment for 1 year. But you'll go down and make a 5-year commitment with a car salesman. Look in verse 13. Isaiah 51:13. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. Have you ever flown up in a plane before? Flown across the ocean and you see thousands of miles of nothing? You ever realize how small we are on this earth? God created it with the breath from His mouth. Just the breath. You know, man many times thinks that he is bigger than God, but it just takes a few natural disasters or God's disasters to make man realize, hey, man's not in charge. The breath of his nostrils, the Bible says, brings the ice and the frost. Can't we trust God that He knows what's best? He created us. He's our Creator. And when He says, I want you to go, is that not what is best for us? The Lord thy Maker, that stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. With such a God that we have, why not leave it up to Him and answer the call? Say, yes, Lord, I'll go. Well, it's too much of a sacrifice. Is it too much of a sacrifice? Is it really a sacrifice for us to leave America, go to Uganda and preach the gospel? Is it really a sacrifice? Why is it when we get a job with a very high-ranking official, maybe a governor or a president, and we say, wow, this is an honor to serve this man? But we never say that with God. It's always, it's a sacrifice. Is it not an honor and a privilege to serve the King of Kings? Why do we say it's a sacrifice? People talk of the sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of the great debt owing to our God which we can never repay? Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and sink, but let this be only for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which He made, who left His Father's throne on high to give Himself for us. That was David Livingstone. It is no sacrifice for me to go to Uganda, take my family to Uganda. It's an honor. It's a privilege to be able to serve the Creator of this world. No, I may not have everything that we have here in America, but God gives us a peace and a joy that I'd rather have than have all the nice things. With such a promise of God's comfort, why not answer God's call and say yes? With such a refuge of His covering, why not say yes? With such a God who is our Creator, who knows what is best for us, why not say, yes, Lord. Whatever You want. You know what's best for my life. If You want me to serve right here in Bourbonnais, I'll do it right here. If You want me to go to Uganda, I'll go. China, South America, whatever it is, I'll answer the call. Pastor.
I was sitting there listening to Matt, and it's quiet, and I was thinking about what he was saying. For over 200 years, missionaries have been coming back from foreign fields with that kind of message. Over 200 years. I forget who it was came back and preached. Maybe you can help me with that, Matt. Might have been Livingston. Came back to England and preached, and C.T. Studd surrendered under his preaching. Bob Hughes comes back from the Philippines and says, we need men, and Rick Martin goes to the Philippines. Rick Martin comes back and preaches, and two or three others surrender to the Philippines. And on it goes. What you heard tonight was a man very burdened for where God's put him. Would we want anything less? We wouldn't want anything less from a missionary that we support, that he'd be absolutely eaten up and consumed with, we need more laborers in our field. And I hope you, all ages, like he said, young and old alike, but I hope you young men especially heard tonight, because Matt Stensis is not that old. You can identify with him a little bit more than others maybe. There is nothing that gadgets, luxuries, and conveniences can bring you even close to being smack dab in the center of God's will for your life. Right? Smack dab in the center of God's will. The peace, the joy that brings. Gadgets can't compare to that. We live in the gadget age. We got everything at our fingertips. We got a web camera. And somebody in the church gave Ben and Ashley a web camera, and Saturday afternoon we saw them. Now, I compared that to these slides a little while ago. 8 men sailed and 3 made it. And here we are sitting in our living room looking at them in France. Little Kenneth bouncing around. Sacrifice? They used to get on a boat and hope that they heard from them again. You know what I mean? What a day and age to go. I dial 815 number and talk to my son like I'm talking to you. Here. And then you got all that in a wide open field where you can do anything in the world. So much of what we can't do here in America because of the politics. You can go to Uganda and see all those little boys and girls and teenagers and adults saved. Man, I'll tell you what, you have to wonder why folks aren't, some of our young people aren't lining up to go. That's a good challenge tonight. That's the heart of a burdened missionary who wants more help. I think they were doing that back in Paul's day. And I'm glad we hear from a missionary tonight who has the same burden. Amen? That was good.